want you to do something for me. It's just a little exercise, if you would. Take your hand. You have two hands. Just take one of them, either one. It's up to you. Pick one hand. Put it on your belly. Okay? If you feel your belly button, you had a mom. At some point in your life, maybe she was present throughout your life, maybe she wasn't. Maybe she's gone into eternity. Maybe you are a mom, or a grandmom, or a spiritual mother. I just want to take a moment and just remind you of something very, very quickly, something that struck me so odd the other day. A few days ago, no, a few, 2 weeks ago, someone sent me a link to see a man do a stand-up comedy act. And in this comedy act, what he did was he sort of lampooned the Ten Commandments. And at first, when I started watching it, it started out humorous, and then the more it went on, the more it became almost blasphemous as he began to mock the Ten Commandments and what kind of God needs you to demand that you respect him, whatever. And then he said something that really tore my heart open. He said, and by the way, he said, honoring your father or your mother, he said, that is so ridiculous. He said, because respect is earned. I was pondering that, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I am here to remind you of this. The Ten Commandments, though being stripped away from every facet of society, considered to be outdated, traditional, and the last vestiges of an old notion about God. As these things are being stripped away, we have to remember what the Ten Commandments are. First of all, they inform our conscience so that our conscience knows right from wrong. It gives us instruction, the basic thing. Because we don't have words for it, but when someone breaks in your car at night and steals out of it, we all feel that impact, and we all say, there's something wrong about that. I'm not sure what it is, but the Ten Commandments says that we're not to steal. The Ten Commandments also tell us that we're to honor our father and mother. And as I was pondering the Ten Commandments and how we should understand them in today's world, the Spirit of God just began to show me that the Ten Commandments are actually the way, the pathway of showing honor, first of all, to God and then to our neighbor. It's the way of honoring God. It's the way of honoring our parents. It's the way of honoring our spouses. It's the way of honoring our neighbor and our children. So it's possible that this comedian's mom or dad or both didn't really act respectably and didn't earn his respect. But that has little to do with honor, because we honor our parents not because they are our parents. It's kind of like, because I said so. No, we honor our parents as our parents. The pathway that God used, whether intended or unintended, the pathway for us to receive life came through our parents. And so no matter what they were or what they weren't, parents are worthy of honor. And it's built into there because God is actually looking for us to honor him as a parent, as a father. He said to Israel, he said, if I am your father, then where is my respect? Where is my honor? And so it's built in. So what God is trying to do in the Ten Commandments, which we're trying to forget about and try to bury in our culture today, is he's actually showing us the way to learn how to honor a person for their office, for their position, their accomplishments, etc. And is it any little wonder that there is so little honor left in this culture that we live in, and we don't know how to honor one another? We don't know how to respect one another. We don't know how to respect a political leader even if we disagree with them. We don't know how to show honor to a judge even if he's a bad judge. We don't know how to show honor to a policeman even if he's not a good policeman. But I'm going to tell you that my experience is most of them are good people trying to do the right thing. So this is free. You're going to share this with you. I'm voting for bringing the Ten Commandments back. We need it now more than ever. I know that's a little strange because we don't know exactly, as Gentile believers, we don't know exactly how to relate to it, especially when it comes to remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Let me just make it simple. If you're Jewish in origin, keep the Sabbath day. If you're Gentile in origin, keep the Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Either way, honor the Lord in a day where we rest and reflect Him. Amen? That was a little weak. I admit, I was expecting a little more enthusiasm. But I just think that we need to remind ourselves the purpose of the Ten Commandments. Now, very quickly, in the last 10 or 20 minutes here, there's a piece of paper on your near you, on your seat. And there's also a flyer there, and it's informational in nature. We're inviting all parents and all parents-to-be and those who once were parents. We're inviting you to come and consider building or rebuilding your family in June. And if you look on the wall over here, the Lord had given me a picture. I just noticed when I would pray in the building at certain areas, certain themes just kept coming back up. So when I prayed over here, I just found myself gravitating to praying for the lost and for people to be saved. When I was praying over here, I just felt myself gravitating to praying for deliverance and healing back there. And then as time went on, I started praying different places. Then the Lord just began to give me family, and then the church, and then the nation. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit's way ahead of me, and I didn't even guess what was going on. We had them designed. We've had them up since mid-2020, and somewhere along the way, there have been other churches that have come in here and said, are those things patented? Can we get copies of them? And I said, steal freely, you know, and pray generously, you know. But a couple weeks ago, the Lord just reminded me and showed me that the three institutions that He created, family, church, and government, are the ones that are on that wall over here, and three solutions are actually on the other wall. And it's like, hey, go figure that. It kind of works, you know. So on Wednesday nights, we've been praying around the banners, and we have one to go. We're going to pray for the nation on Wednesday night. Then we're going to take a couple Wednesday nights off, and when we get to June, we're going to have four Wednesday nights in a row to help people build and rebuild their families in a radical, Christ-centered kind of way. So if you're interested in that, please fill out the piece of paper, drop it in the box in the back, let us know you're planning to come. Or you can email us or text us or send some kind of communication, let us know that you want to be here. So the piece of paper on the chair next to you has John 17. Now, it might seem odd to be reading this scripture, but if you would, turn with me, because I have a question in my mind that I think is in your mind. I'm trying to answer your question, and especially the parent who has children who are in school and under. Not that it stops when they graduate from high school, but for those who have children who are preschool or those who are in school, I bet that one of the questions that you might have is, how is it that we can raise our children in this world? How can we be here in this world and yet not be of it or not be succumbed to it? How do we stand out in our faith? So the best person I can think of to give us some direction on this was a dying man, Jesus, just days before he would go to the cross. He's got his disciples gathered and he's speaking to them and he's encouraging them, and then he begins to pray for them. So this, if there's anything that is the closest to a mother's heart, I think it would be a dying man who knows that his days are limited, and he has what he calls sometimes my little children. He has his disciples. I don't know how Peter handled that, but you know, he called them often my little children. So as Jesus is praying for his little children, not biological, no, it's not that. It little children in the faith, he's using the term that they're used to, a child of God. He's praying for them because he is going to be departing and heading back to the Father. And he would keep the doors of intercession open so that mankind can be saved. So that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary would continue to be before the throne of God, opening and creating a way so that we can be forgiven. Is there anyone besides me very grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the cross and the blood that is eternally before the throne of God, crying out, Father, forgive them. Amen. Amen. Yes. So this dying man is praying a prayer for the ones he cares the most about and is leaving behind, and he prays something very dangerous. And it goes something like this: Father, I pray for them, not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in the midst of the world. So the question is, how can we stay here? How can we be here? How can we thrive here when the foundations of society are crumbling all around us? I don't need to remind you of it. As everything is crumbling, how can we actually have faith to bring children into the world, knowing what kind of world we're bringing them into? Does anyone understand what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. So here's the answer to that. It's very, very, very simple. And thank you. John 17, verse number 6. I'm going to read this in its entirety for you, because if we get nothing else done, at least you've heard Jesus praying. Oh my gosh, to have been in the room when Jesus prayed this prayer. But thank God that John, his disciple, recorded these words for us. In part, this is what it says: Father, I have manifested your name to the men you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. Just like children, our children are gifts from God. They are his. He gave them to us. And they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I don't know about you, but I hear a little bit of something in there that would help us understand when God blesses us with material things. How should this work? How does this work? They belong to him. Verse number 11, I am no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, Judas, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. If there's one thing this country needs again, is the joy of the Lord. We are so grumpy and tired, anxious, depressed, and fearful, and many hopeless. But the joy of the Lord, it was Jesus' joy to do the will of the Father. That gave him strength, gave him nourishment, and it gave him good humor. Oh, we could use some good humor. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. Amen? May God bless the reading of his word. So, how do we raise kiddos in this present evil age? Moms, grandmothers, spiritual moms, and all of us who love you. But particularly the moms and dads with younger children. The first thing that I want to do is to say that we need to dedicate our children to God. And even just a thought before that is that Adam was formed, Eve was fashioned, and then it tells us in the scripture that by chapter 4, I think it is in Genesis, where Eve exclaims that I have gotten a man, or actually in the old King James, a man-child. I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. His name was Cain. I just want to point out one thing about Cain. If he is the first child who was born of a woman, if he is the first child who ever came through the channel of human relationship, through the birthing canal into this world, and drew breath as the first child from the beginning, I just want to say that the world was hostile against him. East of Eden, they now lived. That is to say that there's never been a child ever in history that has grown up in paradise. Adam experienced paradise. Eve experienced paradise. But by the time Cain came along, well, they were out of the garden then. So I just a perspective, the world has always been a hostile place. The seed of the serpent has always wanted to destroy the seed of the woman. So what I would do, first of all, and I see it in this passage in John 17, is to say, let's dedicate our children. Dedicate. Don't delegate. Dedicate your children. Hands on. You cannot delegate to a church, to a youth leader, to anyone, your responsibility to dedicate your children, teach them, train them yourselves. Be involved. God gave this child. Give them back. See, the thing is that we're not losing anything. If we give our if God gives me a child and I give him back to the Lord, I've not lost anything. I've gained a partner in the development of this child. First, dedicate your children. Oh, I should have pushed the button. There you go. A fine-looking young lad there. Secondly, consecrate your home. Sanctify it. It's like dedicate your home. I consecrate myself by receiving God's word. If you read this passage closely, and I know I read it for you, so I encourage you to read it at your leisure. But the thing about it is that Jesus said that I gave these little children, his little children, his disciples, I gave them your word, God, and the world hated them for it. Do you figure that out? Do you get that? I mean, why does the world despise biblical Christianity as much as it does? It's because we've been holding to a word that is thousands of years old, given to us by God. And people in this day and age do not want the conviction of that word. They want the freedom to live any way they choose. But I don't know about you that when I instructed our children, when Judy instructed our children, it was not because we wanted to punish them. It was because we wanted them to thrive. We wanted them to live. So consecrate your home. We can pray over it. We can anoint it. We can have music and videos and stuff going on. And that's good. It's all very good. Do that. But here's the thing that really consecrates a home is when we say, in this house, we obey the word of God. In this house, we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In this house, we are dedicated to the concept that Jesus was not giving us suggestions, but a pathway to life. So dedicate your children, consecrate your home. By the way, you don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. That's why there's a plan for forgiveness. But we aspire to be the kind of people that live out and model the scriptures for the children. And third and last, and this is the one before, pretty shortly I'll be going off a live stream, and I want you guys on live stream to hear this. Infiltrate your community. Infiltrate it. Infiltrate, not segregate. The church has struggled with this because a lot of times when the Lord found us, we were really up to our neck in sin and disobedience, and God rescued us out of a lot of stuff. So when we come out of that and we come into the faith and into the worship of God, it is expected that we leave all that stuff behind. Amen? It is expected that we leave that stuff behind. It's not easy because what the Lord actually said is, okay, once he took the disciples from the world, then he consecrated them, he dedicated them, and he gave them the Father's word. And now he says, now I'm sending you back there. I'm not saying go back to the bars. I'm not saying going back to places where we should not be. I'm saying that the Lord has designed it so that the church be left on the planet to infiltrate it, not to be segregated from it. I know the scripture says, come out from among them, and I understand that, and I agree with it. But in Jesus' prayer, he specifically said to the Father, please don't take them out yet. They need to be there. As you sent me, I'm sending them. So anyone understand what I'm saying here? I mean, this is really important that we understand. We've got to lose the us and them. I believe that the Lord's Prayer ought to be prayed in the middle of the square. We should say, our Father. Okay, this guy over here and this guy over here, he's not really, you know, your child yet. But I'm going to stand with them. I'm going to take hands if I can. If they let me, I'm going to just say, Lord, I identify with them like Jesus did. He came and identified with us as he identified even with Judas. He identified with all of us. He took us by the hand and he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. These guys have no idea what we're talking about over here, right? In the world. But we begin to speak the language. We begin to pray the prayer. And then we begin to say, God, give us this day. Give us this day. Forgive us. And we stand among them. And when we do, we begin to shine like light. We begin to shine like light. I remember praying with someone this week, and I said, you just need a word from God, just like a shaft of light. Oh, God, may you just give a specific word that will bring light and revelation to this situation. And then I opened my scriptures the next day, and in my next psalm up, it says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, and he is my salvation, and I will not be afraid what men can do to me. I believe that you and I need to understand that God left us here not to punish us, but he knew he needed a witness, he needed a testimony. And in the process, he grows our faith, he stretches us, and he sustains us, and he calls us into a place where we actually get to serve the world for him. So here's the thing. If Jesus not only died for me, he died as me, then I should be willing to serve him not just for him, but as him. Amen? Would you please stand up with me? Now, what I'm sharing with you here is very difficult. I've heard many times when I speak along these lines, people will say, but should we expect children to fight our battles? And the answer is no. Don't let the children fight our battles. Fight it with them. Stand with them. You just have to unravel these things. I'm going to be very transparent, very honest with you. I just want to say this word, and it doesn't apply to everybody in this room, certainly. But too often in this country, it does apply. And I have a feeling that in the Christian sections of India, it probably applies there as well. We can easily think that the most dangerous place in the world for our children is in the public schools and in the public universities and in the malls and on the streets and wherever kids gather today with other kids from the world. I know that it's easy for us to think that that is the most dangerous place in the world to live. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not the most dangerous place in the world to live. As a Christian, as a young child in a Christian home, one of the most dangerous places that a child can grow up is in an uncommitted Christian home. Because in an uncommitted Christian home, we're going through the motions believing everything is well. We need to raise these children, train them to fight, show them how to live, how to exercise their faith, and how to be a light shining in this world. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. And on this Mother's Day, I ask that you would help us to, number one, dedicate our children to the Lord. And number two, to consecrate our homes. And number three, begin to establish a plan to infiltrate society, our community. So, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would give us strength to go home and build a consecrated house to the Lord.